was aptly named because it does tell us the whole story. And we appreciate that story very, very, very much. Once again, I got to yakking and didn't get a couple of announcements to bury that I would like to make. First of all, probably a lot of you remember Raymond and Ray Lynn Tennyson. Raymond was the fire chief here, and Ray Lynn was his wife. She was short, brunette. She passed away this January. I did not know that. Lou Ann and she went to church together when they were young up in Anson, and she somehow found it on Facebook or something. So we're certainly saddened about the passing of our sister, Ray Lynn Tennyson. You also might have noticed when Lynn led the prayer this morning that he had a little catch in his voice, and I did not know if that was sinus or something else. Come to find out, it was something else. When he was thanking God in the prayer for answering prayers, he remembered that, or he had already knew, but you remember we have been praying for his sister-in-law who has cancer, very bad cancer. She has been determined cancer-free. So when he was thanking God for answering our prayers and then realized that God certainly did answer prayers, he was touched for just a moment. That was a very, very sweet gesture on his behalf. Amen. In this lesson, I'd like for us to look at the book of life, the phraseology, the book of life, one time even referred to as the Lamb's book of life. And I will tell you up front, I'm probably going to refer to it as the Lamb's book of life more often in this lesson than I refer to it any other way. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Let's see what the book of life actually is. Let's see who does the writing in the Lamb's book of life. There I go. Who does the writing in the book of life? Let's see whose names will be written therein, and let's see whose names are not. Now, brethren, the real reason for this lesson is this. You and I as Christians need to make sure that our name is written in the book of life, and we need to make sure that we do everything we possibly can to make sure our name continues to be in the book of life. And on the day of judgment, as the Bible says, the books will be open. One of those books, I'm sure, is the book of life, and those whose names are written therein shall be saved. But let's look tonight at the book of life. Of course, we're going to begin in the book of Revelation. That's where the terminology is found. Revelation chapter 20. And I'm going to give you enough time during these mentionings for you to turn to those passages. Revelation chapter 20. Now, Revelation chapter 20 begins with a very ominous tone. John sees an angel come down from heaven, and in his hand is a great and powerful chain, and he also has the key to the bottomless pit. And then we see the angel take hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and he binds him with that chain. And then as we continue to go down through Revelation 20, we read some very terrible and some very frightening descriptions about this particular incident. But then we get down to verse 11, and all of that frightening stuff ceases. Because in verse 11, we are given privilege through John's eyes to see the very throne of the Almighty. Let me read from verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and God sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. That was not the intention there. It's things in heaven need to see him. And there was found no place for them there. In other words, heaven and earth was not needed anymore, the first and second heaven. John says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Here we are. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And then we get to verse 15. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, brethren, we really don't hear that phraseology, Book of Life, very much. I mention it occasionally in my preaching. Sometimes it comes up in our teaching. I believe there might be a couple of our songs that we sing that mention the Book of Life. I did incidentally, and this is free, I did incidentally find that Dolly Parton wrote one of the cutest poems, and she put it to music, about the Book of Life, and I feel obligated to read that poem. Is my name written there on those pages bright and fair? Is my name written in the Book of Life? If you want to be up there, then down here you must prepare, and your name must be in the Book of Life. I think that is just as cute as it can be. But regardless of the things that we read, regardless of the things that we hear, perhaps even regardless of the songs that we sing, we need to know the significance of the Book of Life. The Bible is very emphatic in its teaching, and we need to be emphatic in our understanding as well. So let's begin at the beginning. What is it? What is the Book of Life? Well, quite aptly, it's called the Book of Life because it deals with the most important life that a person can lead, and that is eternal life. Now, by referencing eternal life, it shows that the Book of Life deals with spiritual nature, and the things that are spiritual in nature need to bring joy to us as long as our name is in the Book of Life. Now, turn over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. As you're turning there, you might remember, this is the passage where Jesus sends out the 70 disciples. He sends them out two by two, and they go to all the towns and villages where Jesus might, when he really begins his public ministry, visit. And if they are received with open arms, then Jesus will go and visit there. And if they're not received, then he will not go there. But when they come back, we're down to verse 17. When they come back, they're all giddy and excited because, as they say, even the demons, even the devils were subject to them because of his authority. But Jesus cools their joy because he realizes it's not always going to be quite like that. Now we're down to verse 20. Jesus says to them, don't be filled with joy because the demons or these evil spirits are subject to you. Rather, instead of being filled with joy because the demons are subject to you, be filled with joy because your name is written in heaven. Now, brethren, I don't think we're taking too much liberty with this passage to realize that the Book of Life and having your name written in heaven is synonymous. So Jesus says, don't be filled with happiness because physical things are happening to you. Rather, be filled with happiness because your name is written in heaven. Now, also in our introduction, I alluded to the fact that the phrase Lamb's Book of Life is found only one time in the Bible. So let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 27, and I believe that these two are also synonymous, Book of Life, Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation, we find whose names are written therein. In chapter 20, we find whose names are written and whose names are not. And then in chapter 21, verse 27, we read this. And there shall in no wise enter into it, that's talking about eternal bliss or heaven, anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes the truth into a lie. I think we're going to be having a sermon soon on that phraseology. Someone that makes the truth into a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as I said previously in the previous chapter, the same revelator, John, talks about those who will and those who will not have their name there. Now, the next point I want us to consider is, though our names can be and will be and are hopefully written in the Book of Life, they can be blotted out. We're still in the book of Revelation. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And we read from verse 5.
He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Sounds very similar to what Jesus said in Matthew 10:32. Be faithful and I'll confess your name before men. Be unfaithful and I'll deny your name before the Father, or confess and deny before the Father. So the similarity of sound almost makes us realize that he's talking about the good and the bad, the faithful and the unfaithful, the just and the unjust. But the just can have their names blotted out. If we remain faithful, if we retain white clothing, then our names will not be blotted out. There's also an interesting allusion in Exodus chapter 32 to having names blotted out of a book. That's going to be your homework assignment for tonight. Exodus chapter 32. Find out from that passage, and I'm going to give you a little hint in a moment or two, but find out from that passage who had the possibility of having their names blotted out of God's book. So the book of life is a record of the faithful children of God. However, our names can be blotted out if we lose our faithfulness. The next point we will discuss, who does the writing? Well, if it's the Lamb's book of life, then the Lamb does the writing. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. Revelation 3:5 shows that it is Jesus. Revelation 13:8 shows that it is Jesus. It is the name of the saved. They will have their names written therein. The ones who continue to keep sin out of their life, Revelation 21:7 will have their names written therein. Those who remain faithful, Isaiah 4 verse 3 will have their names written therein. The ones who have been delivered, Daniel 12, 1 through 3, will have their names written therein. The ones who labor in the kingdom of the Lord will have their names written therein, Philippians 4 verse 3. In other words, faithful Christians will have their names written there. The Hebrew penman, if it is Paul in the 12th chapter, verse 23, makes just this general observation. The church of the firstborn, whose names are in the book of life. Now, since there is an obvious mention to the names who are there, then there also needs to be an equally obvious mention of names who will not be there. And we find that throughout the Bible. Those who live in sin will not have their names there. Exodus 32, that's your assignment. Those who oppose righteousness will not have their names there. Psalm 69. Those who do not overcome, in other words, those who succumb to the temptations of the world, will not have their names there. Revelation 3. Those who worship the beast will not have their names therein. Revelation 17. And the one I find most interesting, Revelation 22. I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. Revelation 22, I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. Brethren, this is the last thing that Jesus said to us. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things. Now, he's specifically talking about the book of Revelation. However, in the Old Testament, we find another passage indicating we don't add to or take away from anything that God says. Here he's talking specifically about Revelation. And if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book of Revelation. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He that testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. So the question and the answer is twofold. Once we get our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, once we get our name therein, what does it take to keep it there? Now, first of all, how do we get our name in there? Well, we hear the truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We believe what we've heard. I realize it was spoken in the negative, but I'm going to state it in the positive. If we believe that Jesus is the Christ, then we can be saved. We need to make that confession of faith, not only in our lifestyle, but we also need to make that confession of faith prior to our new birth. And then we need to repent. We need to turn away from anything that stands between us. And when we are baptized, the book of Acts says Jesus adds our name to the book of life. And then if we remain faithful, Revelation 2:10, faithful for the rest of our life, he will usher us into eternity. What do we need to do? We need to comply with the primary principles of the gospel. What do we need once our name is there? We need to remain faithful to the very end. Upon the night he was betrayed, the Lord of glory died. Indeed, before the plan was laid, the Lamb was crucified. Before the sin, the spear, the lash, eternal was the flood. God put his inkwell at the gash, Jesus' blood, and filled it with his blood. With his crimson ink and quill, a holy world complied and wrote this kind and costly will, the name of every child. Then finally, with tears, he took a blade and to foreordain and engrave the title on the book, his life, the Lamb was slain. And if your name is written there, though you may be the least, you should not fail to fall to any snare, nor bow to any beast. You should not marvel when it roars, nor any feet admire, nor drink the poison that it pours, nor taste the lake of fire. But you will live forevermore, where dusk and dawn are done. The Lamb will be the moon and soar around an endless sun. And if lamb-like you taste his shame and finish life abase, remember, written one, your name will never be erased. And so you ask, how may I know my name is in his book? May I beseech my God to show the page where I may look? No, none may peer within by prayer, nor if he wait or strive. You know your name is written there because your faith's alive. That's how we know. Perhaps tonight someone needs to respond to the invitation. The number is given. Beautiful song, Kneel at the Cross. Won't you come if you need to as we stand and as we sing.